trying to set you nicely, nicely away. Virgo and I were chavrusos, going back to high school, Karen Biavna and Gush, that my civic education wouldn't be anywhere near what it ended up being. And not being for the Virgo, a lot to do with helping me form my own path and develop the way that I did. So, as any two chavrusos, a lot of what I am today to do with learning with Yitzi, which is known to me. Therefore, it's good to be working together. It's something to share in the framework that he is responsible for. Relating to the shir itself, the topic of pluralism, and specifically Eidu Ve'Eidu, as the phrase appears in the Gemara, is something that's dealt with extensively within halachic literature. But the point I'd like to get to tonight is not just how it's dealt with within halachic literature, but how people in our own century, beginning in the end of last century and in our own century, took it a step beyond what halacha actually describes. Halacha deals with the framework that it recognizes, the framework that it accepts. There's special people in our generation who are able to take that and infer from it messages and what can be attributed to things outside of halacha. As I just spent the first part of the year doing, is seeing what the basis for the idea of pluralism is within our halachic system, and then to show you, in the end, how Tzvi Yehuda Kook, although he's an example, but a very good example, applied it outside the world of halacha. Okay. The title is Truth, Tolerance, and Pluralism, and that's just a catchy phrase, but each one of the words I think is very significant for the topic of the year. The beginning of, let's say, the modern period, the Enlightenment, people began to look suspiciously at religion as basically a system that represented conflict between truth and tolerance. What I mean by that is that if you believe, if you're a religious person who believes in a certain objective truth that applies equally for everyone, and is the way the true essence of the world is, well, why should you be tolerant of anybody who disagrees? Today, 400 years after the beginning of the Enlightenment, the beginning of modernity, people are fine with the idea that you can know the truth and still tolerate someone who doesn't know the truth. But religion for the years before the 17th century, that religion didn't necessarily seem to crusaders. Islamic marauders killed with the assumption that if you didn't know the truth, you were heretic and everyone didn't deserve to live. Okay? People, the scientists, the philosophers who brought about the Enlightenment, who brought about the beginning of modern thought, the first assumption of their work was tolerance. You have to tolerate different opinions, and that there has to be something known as relative truth. Even if you have something that you believe in, you can't assume that it's the truth to the degree that you're willing to be intolerant of someone else who doesn't agree with it. Tolerance is the cornerstone of democracy, what we know as democracy, where different people can live together, believing sometimes in opposing values. So, religion was accused, and correctly so, of being intolerant. The question that I'd like to try and address tonight is regarding Judaism, regarding halacha, is halacha intolerant? Okay. Regarding that point, we find very clear sources in two Gemaras. The Gemara in Yevamos Yudalad Amud Beis, which is quite a topic, and again, I saw that some of the sources are here because of facts, not a fact of sense, so at least you know the sources should be in the following to that degree they can. The Mishnah in Yevamos, that's the Gemara actually. The Mishnah there quotes Machlokes between the Shaman and the Tzila regarding one of the intricacies of the Hesachibu. The implications of the Machlokes about the Hesachibu is that if you disagree with someone, the person you disagree with it can be a mamzer and all kinds of situations that have very serious implications on the marital status of the people within the community. There are reports that even though the Shaman and the Tzila argued about this issue of mamzerus, Toshma, Apophisha, Nesaku, Beshamu, Bechilo, Besaro, Uvachayo, Uzet Yashram, Uzet Ish, Uzet Yisra, Balani, Mo, Vishundi, Bekasa, Beshava Kasa, the Constitution, the Kruz, Beshava Kruz, all these are famous examples of arguments Beshamu and Bechilo had regarding marital issues. Even though they argued about these issues, lo min be shamay ni lisa nashim be shalom, the lo be kilo mi be shalom. Even though, based on their halachic staff, they could have said, I'm not going to marry from the Beit Shammai clan, I'm not going to marry from the Beit Hillel clan because they're mandarim in that clan. If you hold that Kiddushin is with a Pusa, if you hold that Kiddushin is with a Pusa, and Beit Shammai is letting women who get married with two Pusas, less than a dinar, go off as if they're not married, Beit Shammai is already mandarim. Beit Hillel said, even though, according to this letter of my law, I view these people as mandarim, still, I'm going to marry. Why? No, the mezpah, shit, chiva, chiva, v'reyu, no argument that for them. But they had friendship towards one another. The kaya matanema, the ancient pasuk, it really sums up the first part of the shir, ha'emet v'hashalom ahavu. The idea that the truth and peace can somehow live together, or love each other. The idea that a person can believe in his truth, a person can believe this is the tzach, yet live with someone else who has a different tzach. Okay? This nice chance that some of this is a Kiddush, that this could exist. This is a Gemara. And, I photocopied that as a real Gemara. I didn't make this up. It's not a firm Gemara. It says that even though one person believes in their stock, not only do they tolerate the other stock, they're willing to marry someone who had a different stock, which for them is not there. But since the other person was relying on a true bona fide stock, and therefore they were operating within the confines of halacha, therefore they were married. Yes. Okay. If you're talking about a chumrah, you're talking about a chumrah here, assumably, let's say the example you're talking about the Kiddushim, with Prut and Dinar, there's no implication that we're dealing with a chumrah.
No, but the
sometimes it's a kula, and sometimes doing the other way is a kula. Boshesh is a word you can only use when it doesn't hurt you to go the extra step of being punishment of the shita. If you hold it, that person is unzeh, it's not being boshesh to say it's not unzeh. To be mako, say it's not unzeh. Give you an example, a parallel example by Kasha, which is a lot easier to see. If you hold that somebody else is relying on a kasha you feel is not reliable, that means you hold what they're eating is not kosher, right? Forget the problem, but that really is unreliable. Would you assume they eat there? Have you not assumed you are assuming they won't say, of course not! Of course not! Again, the practical applications we'll get to at the end. I'm just trying to say this is not shocking. You know, people don't know it. Okay. It's not everything we give on the day. The mother there discusses how we pass him within Machlokos between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. The first part of the Gemara we'll read a little bit later. I'd like to focus right now on the end of the Gemara. And four lines before it, lines get wide. Amar Rav, Amar Shmuel. Shalosh Shanim Lechtasu Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. For 3 years, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel argued about the Shalom Sefer, this issue, all the issues. They both said the offering in Yisrael, to what extent they believed in their shita for 3 years. Yotze Basko de Amra. After 3 years, Basko appeared and said, Eilu Beilu Zidro Tum Chayim, I'll see what I'm going to be back to. Okay. V'alokma kibay sila. Eilu Beilu Lokma Yisrael. Fata Rokma Yisrael, another word. The Chineach is Eilu Beilu Zidro Tum Chayim. If both of them are the words of the living God, they might not have a tilak for Rokma Yisrael. Why is Alokma Yisrael? What says it? Nation Nolten Valley is in for you. They were nice guys. This is the best translation for us today. They were tolerant, allusion. The Shonen did rain the Divir Beshamet. When they gave Shir, they didn't just give their Mahalach. The first they quoted the Mahalach and the other Akronim, and simply not to be Darsha. They quoted the other opinions. Not only they quoted the other opinions. Velo Oi El Shemakdim in Divir Beshamet the Divir. They quoted Beshamet first. As a way of showing, imagine showing to the Talmidim, we have our opinion, but the other opinions are also part of Torah, and also demand the same amount of respect. That doesn't mean that they weren't true believers in their Jesus. They fought for 3 years. They fought tooth and nail. And we know the famous story that Gemara discusses with the sticking of the knives in front of the big medrash, top people going out trying to get a vote. They believed in their Jesus. But in Shir, they quoted both, and they married each other. And that's really why the lessons like this are. Only a person who expresses this time, who realizes that there can be different sheets of the guest, he's the person who is safe enough to pass him. Relating this to the general difference between Hillel and Shammai, So people familiar with the other Gemara discuss the difference between Ulam Shama, the famous Gemara with the Ger. The Ger came to the Shama to teach the whole Torah at one foot. From the hill, what does Shama say? I'll put this. Again, same Ger comes to Hillel, and Hillel says, right, so the point is that Hillel seems to have been more power. Seems to have been someone who is, even though he believes in a Shita, someone who was more looking to bring people into the fold, to bring to an appreciation of the fact that there can be different things. Okay, this is level one. We see from these two Gemara, the idea of tolerance, the ability to believe in a Shita, yet tolerate the Shita that this is. This brings us to the second part of the share that we're going to spend the bulk of the time on. The difference between the terms tolerance and pluralism. These are terms that are thrown around everybody in different contexts. But the difference is very, very important. Tolerance means you think the other guy is an idiot. You think the other guy is dead wrong. But you know, in a democratic society, he has to have his right, I have to have my right. We tolerate all kinds of crazy clans in America. And you see them. That's tolerance. But a person can be tolerant and walk around still with the belief that I have the only truth. I imagine the average room, Jew, Christian, or whatever, walks around with this kind of thing. We know the truth. We have a monopoly. Everybody has a monopoly. No, you should have a monopoly. And everybody else, we tolerate them. Right? But they're wrong. Okay? Pluralism, plural, right? Multiple implies the possibility, an austerity, that we tolerate people because we believe that there can be multiple truths. That other people can be right even if they disagree with our assumptions, which we believe are right. That when someone else disagrees with us, we believe we're right, but we can believe at the same time that they may also be right. Doesn't mean that a person believes he is not right. In America, you have two types of individuals. You have people who believe they're right, they're tolerant. You have other people who are called relativists. A relativist believes that nothing is true. I'm not right, you're not right, nobody's right, so everything's happening. Jewish pluralism, or religious pluralism, believes that there is a right, or a right, or a best right, or a right that we live by. But there can be other truths as well. Okay, relative truth, more truth, less truth. But there can be other things of value that we don't necessarily stand by. Now, does that idea exist in Judaism? And if it does, to what extent does it exist? Not just the fact that it could be tolerant. If Hillel could have said, Meshamai, I'll marry you, I'll live with you, but you're wrong. Now, was it a step beyond it? Was it possibly the idea of recognizing multiple truths? This is obviously something that needs to be true to make a claim like this, that such a thing exists. And this is what I'd like to go about. The main part of the shiur, which we're about to begin, to try and show why and how such a principle exists within Torah in general and specifically within us. The first part I'd like to devote to an area of Torah which I think people naturally assume, even if they don't formulate this way, people naturally assume the existence of such a concept. And that is the world of Haggadah, Medrash, philosophy. If you look in Bamidbar Rabbah, the next source of the sheet. Famous medrash everybody quotes. I think there's even a journal within the YU world that's named after this essentially high school journal. It's named after the famous medrash which said the end of the first line, Shivim Shekel Shekel Kodesh, within the description of the Nephilim, all the different karbanot that were brought. In the summary, it says Shivim Shekel Shekel Kodesh. 70 shekel was the value of what was brought over by the Nephilim. Lama. It's the same to Yayin Kizbom Shivim. Just as wine, the value of 70. Tafiye Shivim Panim Bator. There's 70 facets, 70 perspectives in Torah. So again, everybody's familiar with the phrases of the source. The idea that there can be different perspectives within the same here the Medrash adds a very important phrase that we're going to start to see more of as we go along. The Medrash continues here. Lama Namra Bakara Achat. Why does it say it was in one place? The Negan HaTorah Tzrifaliyot Achat. Just like the Torah is one, so too it was in one bowl. The Mad Tamer, the Pasuk says, Torah Achat Mishnah Achat Yelachem. has to be one unified Lord. Lama Nana and Mitrakasa, why is he saying one, another spoon, hand? Shadivre Torah Shibasa, Shadivre Torah Shibasa, both the Torah Shibasa, and the Torah Shibasa, Kula Nasnu Meira, Ephat, they were all given by the same shepherd, like God. Kula Elasad Arman Lamosh Mitzina. All of Torah Shibasa, all of Torah Shibasa, here including, based on the context, the different opinions, all of them come from Sinai, from the same original source. So you have, assumably, at least on the most basic level, regarding Shtofa, regarding Parshanut, and Rada, the application of the idea of the possibility of the existence of multiple successors. The Gemara Sanhedrin that on the Valley of the Hallows uses a different imagery to project this idea. The Gemara there writes, at the bottom of the end of the first line, Amar Abaya. God spoke, God spoke one and we heard multiple, we heard double. He also, Mikra Chadis say the Kama Tami. One pasuk can go into different directions. The Ein Kama Chad, you'll say Mikama Mikra. The flip side, that one explanation doesn't come out of more than one pasuk. And the imagery used now, the next line, is the Tatish, the first place, as the hammer, chisel, blast the rock, Ma Patish, then it's Kalek Lakamani Sasot, Ask the Torah Chadish, say the Kamatami. Here is an argument that most of the commentators, how exactly does use the image here? Is the point that the hammer, when it hits the rock shatters into many pieces? Okay? Or is that when the hammer hits the rock, sparks fly into different, but the point here is obvious that with the one, with the hammer shedding, right, or that with one swing of a hammer by he or God, or by with one stroke, you can have different directions of that line, different perspectives on the same string. And that's used again to represent this idea of from the oneness of God's presentation, the result of different perspectives. Beyond these two imageries, I'm sure we're familiar with two other areas where we find the same type of idea. Many of the Parshanim from the Torah, within their own commentaries, forgetting the fact that they recognize other commentaries as justified, was also correct. Within their own commentaries, many of the commentators recognize different levels, okay, of explanation of exegesis. You have the Ramban, for example, who very often within a piece will present Shat, because this is Al-Derech HaShat, and this is Al-Derech HaEmet, and this is Al-Derech HaDrushim. All the Drachim, but he doesn't go beyond the number 70, obviously, but the idea that he himself is recognizing different tracks of explanation, different perspectives as coexisting. Okay, yeah. So, that's the example we have the something we're referring to, right? The reason why the Ramban mentions terms that don't fall into priorities, right? MS, which may mean so to him, okay? But as you mentioned, the idea of Chat, Remez, Drash, and so, there's another type of idea of different ways of looking at the same, thing. You know, there's another example in his take on this book. When he discusses the Tanya Mitzvah, he doesn't say this is the reason for the Mitzvah, that's the whole. Very often he himself quotes different reasons for a mitzvah, and will mention, very similar to the way the Ramban relates to the Torah, he relates to mitzvahs, different levels of the meaning of a mitzvah. Okay. So all of these sources can be seen as relating to the world of philosophy, of Jesus, of God, and one can say, okay, that's all nice for Shal Shuddah Torah, Halacha is cut and dry. It's either this way or that way, right? Halacha is eventually. This brings us back to the source that we saw already before, of Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The idea that the Vatzal didn't just say Halacha is eventually, the Vatzal said both of these opinions are the words of the living God. Both of these opinions, even though Halacha is like Beitilah, this is what Bala is thinking about, both of them have some element of godliness, of value. Truth, the Gemara doesn't say. Let's say Elohim Divrei Emet. But it does say Elohim Divrei Elokim Chayim. The basis for this comes from the Gemara Sahiga Dasimu Mibes, which uses a phrase which appears many times in the Medrash. It appears in the Medrash in Barira that we read, and in another Medrash, another source, not in the Medrash that I'm about to read. But let's see the full length feature of this concept in Sahiga Dasimu Mibes. The Gemara there is quoting the Pasuk, Daushin the Pasuk that appears in Kohelet, sorry, in Mishlei. Pasach Vizarash, Divrei Chachamim Kidarvono, the words of the sages, jewels that one can collect from a shepherd. Bali Asufa Natnu Meirocha, given from the one shepherd. Now this pasuk in the original context is translated in many different ways. I don't want to relate to exactly different interpretations of the pasuk in its original context. But let's see how Chazal Darshan this pasuk. The drasha here relates to different parts of the pasuk independently. Let's pick up the drasha where it relates to the second part of the pasuk. About halfway down, in the middle of the line, it says, "Bali Asufot, Bali Asufot." Elu Tamidei Chachamim sheyoshvin Asufot Asufot veoskim b'Torah. They sit together in groups, which is very important. We'll see why it's important in a second. And there will be also halal mitamim, halal mitamim, halal osvin, halal nasiyim, halal postman, halal nashiyim. People are arguing. It's a stereotypical group of Tamil Islamim sitting around. Shemi Yom Razin, maybe a person will reach a conclusion. Hechan Ilamei Torah Me'asa. If you have all these arguments, why should I learn Torah? How should I learn Torah? Can there be any meaning in Torah with all these arguments? Talmud Loma, that's why the Pasuk continues after Bali Asufo, Ulam Nafim Me'asa. Even though there is these different opinions, this discussion, the argument, they all find themselves flowing from an original source. Elachad Natanan, one God gave them. Parishachad Amran, one leader, said them, therefore, Afasa, say Aznacha Kafra Keset, Mahu Echad, Afasa Echad, just as they're all given from the original source, you should unite them and take them in again together. Make your ear, the best translation would be like a satellite dish. The word that you say, make your ear as a flea, a funnel that can bring all of these different opinions together to express them. The Knelefan, the choir, laid maiden, the Shmorat, the Grand Atomic, 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 the Grand the Russian Hazard, the Mile and the Meaning. Even though there's nothing, even though the opinions are often diametrically opposed one to the other, they all come to an original source, and therefore you too should unite these opinions in some way, bringing them together. Before we understand what this means, why it means, how it means, one thing we're seeing here clearly is the principle of Elohim and Divrei Elohim Chayim, and specifically the terminology of Divrei Elohim Chayim. Both of them are the words of the living God. What do you mean the words of the living God? They are the words of the living God, the belief that all of them come from God, that all of them were part of the Sinaitic revelation. Right? Of Matan Torah Hashima, as we saw already in the last message. This is what the Brisa, the Sefer Sofrim, again a later story, seems to be reflective of an earlier idea as we've already seen. The first halacha had Amar Tamkum Bakim Elan, Ilu Natna Torah Chatucha, and the Torah been given cut and dry, Lo Haita Omed Maglayim Lerosh Shiyor. There wouldn't be flexibility for a poster. She'im Tameh. The fact gives flexibility to a pose to be able to go in different directions. We'll see how this variety was taken by Levi Shulis. Amar Rav Yanai, the juxtaposition here is very important. Torah Shanatan HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. The Torah that was given to Moshe, not no ba'ar revocation panim tarei, umem tef panim tarei. Shene'amar, v'diglu, ava, the passage that's seen in the Darshan here, the Gematria men tef. The idea that the Torah was not given as Tameh, Tor, a list of halachot. Okay? The Torah was given as perspective. 49 perspectives the Tameh, 49 perspectives the Kasha. This concept, which we'll return to later, the ability to appreciate the different multiple perspectives on each side of the argument, is already mentioned in Gemara and Erevin that the Gimel, which I'd like to return to before we move on to the next sheet. Again, we'll see this idea again later. The Gemara reports us in the top line of the Gimel of the Days, the part that's called a copy. Amar Rabba Omer Yochanan, Talmud, how do you know Reb Meir? Reb Meir had a Talmud, the Sumtishno. Same as Sumtishno. This Talmud is able to give 48 reasons for Tanya, 48 reasons for Tanya. But in the right direction, meaning when it was Tanya, he justified it in 48 ways. When it was Tanya, when it was Tar, he justified it in 48 ways. But now the Gemara reports Tana. Talmud was the Tanya of the Yavne. That was learning in the Yavne many years. So he was tired of sharing the mayor of the Chamishin Tamish. That's what he was doing. He was being tired of sharing, which we all know is Tamish. He was finding 150 reasons for the entire sharing. What he wants to do. And now I'm going to give some examples of how you can be tired of sharing. What's going on here? The purpose of being tired of sharing, the idea that there's some value in the pure, what you see in the intellectual exercise of finding reasons why what the Torah says could be reversed. But again, once you hear what we see in the writing of the Sefer, which clearly flows out of the understanding of the Gemara Chagiga that's given over there, again, which source came first is hard to tell, but the idea that all these sources are building towards the same conclusion. The idea that the Torah is not Tamei Tahar, but is a collection of concepts that's lost to understand exactly what that means, which mitigate in different dimensions. So the summary that we've seen thus far. The concept that we summarized, and then I'll take the question. The summary we've seen thus far, the concept that we saw in the world of Agadah and philosophy, the idea that there can be multiple perspectives of something, we find on some level, we haven't explained yet how and why, and in what way, right, within the world of Halacha as well. Okay, not just Iyum. Eruv Eruv, Arim Tzvi Shana Tzvi, Kula Meitzvah Efav Nasi. Both opinions are part of the divine revelation.
Yeah.
He was trying to show there's a pure Jericho couple.
Sure.
Okay. If you had this source alone, you could definitely say that. As you begin to develop the other sources, we'll see if that stands. You're right. If I'm building again, the world of Sack is different than the world of you. And just and that's the fact that we allow for multiple perspectives in the world of you means that we have to be extra careful in the world of Sack to stand on one or the danger of the Ankle being more than one Torah. Which on that point, I want to elaborate and you see that historically, the figures who opened up the world of you the most were the ones who within the world of Sack, or even within the world of you, ironically closed to us. For example, the Chaim is the one who opened up the floodgates of thought, to some extent, that didn't appear in a vacuum. But the idea of thinking, ideas, and different possibilities, Rav Chaim yet is the one who is famous for being called and saying, we only learn to be shown. Right? We only try to learn to be shown. That's the one who opened up the floodgates and inspired people to think the danger is that there's no boundaries. And then it becomes always going to get a boundary to be shown. Okay, same way here. It's specifically the fact that on an Eon level it's so open, it forces us to have the Psalm. And to have after the Eon level, because it's going to find a lot to be true. To have Zakein Mamrim. To have institutions that are meant to keep Halakha and the functional aspect of Judaism, what we do, right, to keep a certain, as much of a unity as possible. Yeah. I understand. You're saying human power is a different world, and the whole point is trying to show you that it's not based on logic. I understood that. And my response to that is, we'll see the other sources that develop this point further. You're right, if this is all that I'm bringing, you could close the shop and go home. But as we see how it develops further, hopefully you'll see that the Rishonim at least understood it to mean much more. And I think they're correct. I don't think they're treating the sources like that. Alright. The first point I'd like to deal with is to try and understand what the implications of the concept of Eilu Be'eilu are. First of all, the first thought I'd like to show you is something already implied in this episode and made more clear by the Ritzvah. Look at the next page, the Ritzvah airs in the Gimel on the page. Quote, Shalom Rabbeinu Tzarfat, the French rabbis asked the question, and we have in many other places the French rabbis being quoted as being bothered by this question. Well, we late later to the Gemara Sanhedrin that the Zayin out there on the side of the page, Tosfos actually asked this question in the Divine Tam. Shalom Rav Tzafata. Hey, the Shal Shush name did everything right. Is that also the Zaymatik? Tosfos spends all time trying to reconcile opposing sugyas, and he is basically saying, forget reconciliation of sugyas. There's nothing anybody else can say. The whole train of thought is so different than the concept of English. It's very telling that the Bali of Tosfos is all about it. Okay. How could this be? How can you disbelieve like this without reconciliation? The Jesus, the answer, Sha'al Moshe Lamar Matabal Torah. When Moshe went to accept the Torah, he will not uphold the Rabbi Devar, men uphold the Rabbi Devar. Men says Panam Leister, Men says Panam Leister. The Shah Rakhadish Baruch Hu there. The Amar, why am I giving you all the different perspectives? She Yehez and Master of the Tatma Yisrael, she is uphold the Rabbi Devar. The Yeh Rakh Mosad. The Nakhulu Mosad Rash, who was there to end it. We'll try and find what the episode is a little bit later. But the point he's saying is that why was he given this book? And again, this, I think the point is already in the sense of but here the Rishon is saying it even more clearly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the different perspectives to allow for flexibility in different generations. Why does it matter? Why is it a generation? There is what's being said here that each generation re-examines the Torah and decides that I can what they don't like. And this is obviously one of the major arguments in the 20th century. Flexibility in opposing. In certain contexts of meeting with other rabbis from other denominations, I'll say that I was the most conservative with the lowercase c of the rabbinical fellows there. I was shown by someone from the Hebrew Union College, who formed the seminary, the whole course he was studying on how of proving that Rav Moshe Feinstein is a reform rabbi. They took it to him, they showed up. Come and ask him, goodbye. And oh, this is goodbye. He bends his dishes on these terms. He's a reform rabbi. He's right. Rav Moshe was a reform rabbi. I believe the difference was Rav Moshe was a reform rabbi with a lowercase r. Not with a capital R. And the idea is that you have to operate within a halakhic system of knowing the flexibility of Hamas. What are the circumstances that mandate a kuna? What is the basis for a kuna? So Rav Moshe didn't sit down and say, you know what? It's irrelevant today, forget it. If you were dealing with a type of zera that has built into it the irrelevant factor, then okay, that can be taken into account. If it's basis for the kula and precedent in the early present, then that allows for the flexibility. And if there are 49 perspectives retire, those are taken into account too. That's why the greatest postmen are those who have the Eon background, because they know the different shitos and they know what can be taken into account in the smachta halakha. The Beis Yosef, not by chance that the Beis Yosef wrote the Shulchan Aruch first, wrote an in-depth commentary on the Torah, quoting all of the sources from the Gemara as a backdrop to understand the Bible. Talking like Rav Moshe, Rav Zalman, these are people who knew the sugyas inside out and brought that to their Gemara. And knew the fact, you know, what factors are motivating the Hakadosh Baruch Hu. How can I do this specific situation sitting in front of you? Okay, so by no means is it a simple answer to the question, what exactly is the means of flexibility? But one thing you see to show that there is flexibility, and that there is a certain amount of generational, the generation gap. In a different generation, it might be viewed differently. Again, I don't have the time in the time allotted here tonight to go into, once we know all of this about the pluralism, so bottom line, where do we draw the line? Right? How do we derive the fact if all of these perspectives are true? But one thing that seems for sure is that there's a built-in flexibility code. Yeah, exactly. We're getting back to the Tumen Tarifai. First of all, I'll point out to you that there are different flows in the Medrash Tumen. Okay, we're running that point, and maybe if there's some change to Tumen Tari, we're trying to focus on that point. Okay, the Ritva, though, unless you're going to say that they changed the here too, the Ritva at least had that here, or understood it on his own that way. Okay? And as we're going to progress further and further, we're going to see people outside the area of Tumen Tari, throughout the next few. That's why I'm telling you, although a little, you're going to keep trying, this will also summon time. But eventually you're going to run out again, because you're going to start doing sources that are clearly outside the realm of summon time. Okay, you might say, the original sense of the Gemara is not that way, this is the Dasi of the Rishonim. Quite possible. But I believe that it definitely is, it's not a Dasi of the Rishonim. And it's not something that exists inside the Rishonim and got very good to me. It's picked up by the Afronim, by the Maharal, as I'll show you, by the Ramah, okay. Ramah, again, it's Summa Tau, by the Maharal, by the Marshal, by the Rav Shulchan. Okay, we're talking about mainstream, both as far as Iru and as far as Aloha. So again, if you're talking at a scholarly level, this is a scholarly framework, so it's justified. Right? If you're at a scholarly level, with the original concept meant to be taken out of Summa Tau, negotiable. Again, you can't prove that it should be taken out, you can only prove that it was never mentioned outside of that context, and that would be definitely just a final point. Oh, okay, so maybe we'll continue this discussion. That's a good idea. Okay. Alright. The risk of being pushing things forward. Alright. So, the risk of you making a separate social is in relation to the generational aspect. Yamsha Shlomo, the Marashal, he's like Shlomo to the Baba Kama. I'm reminded now that 10 years ago, my Chavrusha, sitting in the room, urged me to read the Hagdama of the Marashal. Various sections, Marshal's very Hagdama, where he relates starkly to those who came before him in very interesting terms. This is part of the Hagdama, the section of Baba Kama, where he relates in general to the whole idea of Elu Ve'elu and other concepts. The Marashal here brings together a lot of the points we saw in other sources and tries to explain the significance and the basis for the concept of Elu Ve'elu. Start at the top line. Call an insta the Jidre Rakhne Atorah. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu Lava Shalom Adata. Hein hein hachatam sh'amahu alein Jidre Chacham Kedon Lame. Kulam natnu meiro ha'efad. V'shalo l'tmo amas lo k'tam. Don't be shocked by the argument. The Rishol Tadeo. The fact that there are such varying shittos. From one extreme to the other. Shizem etame yizem etare. Zeo se vizem atzapot zapot 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 In that of Lashem Shemayim, as long as all the deos are Lashem Shemayim. Give us the next line, the Kulam Divri Elohim Chayim, Ilu Kibel Kol Echad Miti Agvura. When we say Divri Elohim Chayim, not just that we assume that all of them originate in from God. When a person says it as if he himself is Mekabel from Shem, how could that be possible? Even though Moshe doesn't say the word himself, even though Moshe didn't actually report in respect, Lulei Tzara Kabbalah Ish Nifiyush. V'amukubalim Kat Nitam Rezavah. Lufisha Kol HaNishamo Tayu Bahar Sinai. The Kiblon Derech Mentes Tumayim. The Marashar is trying to give different ways of understanding, different perspectives, and how to understand this concept. That different opinions can both be valid, to different types, but also be part of the original material. And I think that hidden here, behind the Marashal's discussion, the very famous Gemara that we have, that tells us about the Moshe's visit from Shemayim to receive the Torah. The Torah in the source that's written in the Ritzvah, paraphrasing of the Medrash Tehillim, Kisha'ala Moshe Lamorim. And Moshe went up to Shemayim to accept the Torah. He told the Gemara Menachos, when Moshe went up to accept the Torah, he saw that his Baruch Hu was making all the crown. So, but he said,
I'm going to meet the Akiva. But, that's what his father sent him down to the Shia. This brand is Mamakom, obviously.
He had no idea what was going on. Rushes and masses and shoving a kind of helmet. Moshe was totally at it. The Rosh Hashanah said, Moshe Dato. This is my Torah. What did they do to my Torah? The Rosh Hashanah, at the end of Shir, Talmud asked a question. And the Kiva didn't have the answer. He said, Halacha Moshe Mishima. Moshe felt better. But the Mishima didn't share, he felt better. But how could Moshe not know what Rabbi Akiva felt was a continuation of the Torah? I think what the Mashal is explaining to us is that there are different ways to look at the same type of information. And historically, okay, there is a certain development, as opposed to change, within Torah Shabbat. Different generations related to Torah Shabbat are different. Just as today, the type of brisket Torahs that are popular today, we don't believe that the Ramban sat with the Rashbah makes Hashir itself the God. They related to a different perspective, at least they wrote about a different perspective in the Gemara. And the Tanayim and Amoraim, each perspective related to other perspectives. Moshe certainly didn't sit there with the same type of drusha that Rabbi Akiva was. This is a note for people who are interested. There are a couple of articles that appear in the journal of Higayon, published in an English version of it, where there's a lengthy description of the Nazir, the major Talmud of the cook. The Nazir's explanation of the development of Yibim Omidot, Yibim Omidot of Jewish, and tries to show what were the original elements of the Jewish show, and how they developed through the generations, Hillel, the Akiva, the Yishmael, etc., how they came to be what we know as Yibim Omidot, and then after that, how they were developed further. The idea of how there were original ideas in the Masorah, which were developed later, in later generations, into actual Omidot. The idea that Moshe had concepts, Moshe had certain ideas that were given to him. These concepts were the kernel of Torah Shabbat Fest that were developed by different generations later on in the Torah. And that's the first part of what the Anshar Shalom of Mashal is developing here, is an idea of there can be something, an idea that a person doesn't see or doesn't understand, doesn't explain in a certain way, even though he understands the idea, a later generation will explain it from a different perspective, maybe a more philosophical perspective. The same way, people who study philosophy look in the Gemara to try and see what Chazal's opinion was about many types of philosophical questions. Very often people are frustrated at not being able to find answers to these questions. The truth is, though, that there are answers to the questions. The key, though, is appreciating that Chazal didn't always discuss the issues in the same way we discussed them. The terminology, the structure of thought, the framework, the philosophical framework we use is not necessarily something that's philosophical. The questions, the ideas, questions are determined. The way a question is phrased and the way we answer that, because the terminology we use, that's what changes. Okay? That's why it's very important to understand when you're looking at earlier sources and relating to different sources, what's the framework that they're operating in and how are they discussing the issue. The same way here. Moshe, from the beginning of the Torah, the concept existed. But they didn't exist in the same way, in the same formulation, in the same structure that they may have existed later then. Here he goes on to the second point, in the Kubalim. In the Kubalim explain why are they different looking times, and this is really the climax of the Mashal piece, because we believe based on the Medrash, and I'd like to try and explain this also from an irrational perspective, that all of the Neshamas were at Har Sinai, took up all the Kabbalah. All the Neshamas were at Har Sinai. And he explains here, look at the number that he uses. Kol Neshamas Yivar Sinai, the Kiblan Derech Menset Sinarot. There were 49 independent pipelines that people were Mekabel Torah. Imagine that the number 49 here, it doesn't mean you have to fit in one of the 49 pieces, but he is using it as an example of 7 times 7, of the climax of Teva, of the whole world, of all the possibilities in the world of people appreciating based on their own level, which is what the Marshal continues on with now. Right. 49 is all over the place. And now you start to appreciate 49 as you have on this part. 49 as the ultimate in the world of Teva. Yoga. Sphere. Okay. And that's 1 second. That's the colors of the Kol Echad Ra'ah Derech Tino Shalo. Everyone saw their own pipe. L'fi Asagato. The kibel kisvi koch nishmat al yonol rov yuliyah. Ad shechad yagia l'tahor. Vashemi yagia l'tahor. Everybody's different. Everybody's different capabilities. Weaker, stronger, different. Intellectual, emotional. People from the top of the order. There's a very similar barashah in the Gemara on Shabbos that protects. The Gemara has different sources about what happened in our female. One of the sources said that everybody died. Yotzei Nishmata. Another source said everybody flew three parsos. Was shocked back three parsos. So the barashah said, well, did they die or were they thrown back? They're all three. The barashah said there were different people who had different experiences. Some people, Yotzei Nishmata. Some people were thrown back three parsos. Some people, the idea being that everyone was impacted depending on who they were. So they're coming up with kayaks and how much TNT was there in that group. But here on the intellectual level, what did they perceive might have been different? Now this is shocking. This is shocking. And obviously we believe that there is a certain core that everybody saw. Everybody heard the same Anokh Hashem Osefa. But how that appeared to people might have been different. How a person understood that may have been different. And that may have been different. Was different. And that's why one person can reach myself and talk one person can reach myself. I think this is what the Ritva meant when he said, "The derech haemet, the yesh tam sod gadol." I don't know, but I know that the Marshal, based on Kabbalah, saying this, and the Ritva is referring to Kabbalah. We can imagine that this might be what he's referring to. But even if you're not a Kabbalist and you don't believe, or you don't understand in the same way that everybody's there, all the souls that I've seen, I think the idea is the same idea. The idea that people are dealing with the Torah, whether you're hearing it from a Kaddish Baruch Hu or your Rebbe. Or your father, Tilo Kibla Me'arshina. The living Torah as each person being Makabo from Arshina by hearing from his Rebbe. You can have different Talmidim hearing from a Rebbe, different Talmidim hearing from her in the town, different Talmidim hearing from Salvation. Who all are having justifiable perception of the same truth, of the same story. Kulam Kibla Me'ra Echa. They all receive it from the same shepherd, and different justifiable approaches of how to view the same truth. So whether it's in a Kabbalistic framework, actually at Har Sinai or the Neshama, or a more rational perspective, all of us here hearing it from a common teacher, it's possible, justifiable, and maybe even planned, that people perceive it on their own level. That people as individuals, we're all individuals, perceive it their own way, internalize it their own way, and take it with them. So thus far we've seen in the Ritva and the Marshal, something that I think is parallel. The idea of different generations, different peoples. Okay? The Marshal, the Ritva is dealing with a time quotient, or the generation gap, while the Marshal is dealing with the people as opposed to the people. This person as opposed to another person. But both of them are talking about different people's abilities or needs to understand things in different ways. Rashi, though, takes it maybe a step further or step in a different direction. Rashi, Gemara Suvah Saf and Zayin and Ali, the Gemara there seems to distinguish between two types of machloket. One type of machloket is where two people are arguing what someone said. I say you said mutsu, you say you said The other type of argument is not where we argue about what someone said, but we argue the essence in it, right? We're arguing what the halacha should be. The Gemara seems to distinguish between these two situations, and Rashi explains in the following way. Heicha the ashkan amara de pliga adami, where you find an argument between two amarayim, kol achad aliv de nafshay. The tre amaray achrina de pligi de plukta tahanas amaray. You have two amarayim arguing about the actual argument, how, what was the nature of the argument. Islam the Purusha and Milk of the Tradition, we can explain in two ways. Khadami Nayo Mithugi Shuayalura Libid Nafshayu. Shekola Khadar Mesh Parashalom. Tigo, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua. The inner Kram Arai, Alibid the Khadar Mithugi. Ella, Ami Khadar Milkra, the Khadar, Min Lishna Mithugi, Kram Arai, Alibid the Khadar. Tigo, Rabbi Dini Narada, the case of the Gemara. Umishad the Milk of the Shuayam Arai, Kama Khadar Milkra, Shakina. Ahi Lishna. The Mitzvah Yisraelish, the Tramarai, Ali B'Dachan. The Natsinan, the Gemara answers, Ahi the Mitzvah Yisraelish, Ali B'Dachayu. Where two people are arguing
undergo deeply betray Ali by the sad Mara Hafi Arafloni, Mara Hafi Arafloni, Sadi Arishaka. This is an argument what the person actually said, one of them is honestly lying. When people are arguing about an actual case, whether the law should be under Musa, Kol Chada Ma'akim Sabakam. Each one is saying, anyway. Ain't gone checking. You know what it's for. Kol Chada Chadfer the Gecko. Each one is giving it respect. Mario Tamla Day. Who Mario Tamla Day? Mama Dali Nusa the Nusa the Halki. Mama Dali Nusa the Yana Kavina. Each one is seeing it in their own way. The Eka the name, and whether the Kimchai in it. Zinnin the Shaya Kaitam. Zinnin the Shaya Kaitam. Shatam is a pech for a fish, she knew he had brain machinery. When two people are arguing about what someone said, when two people are arguing what the law should be, both of them can have basis for what they're saying. And you know what? Both of the bases are true. And what Rashi says here in his translation of Eilu Eilu, the last line is that it depends on the situation. Sometimes the Tamla has to be more shy. Sometimes the time is there more shy. And the reason why we use different perspectives is because all of these need to be taken into account in this situation, and we have to decide in each situation, in this circumstance, are the time we have the more relevant or the time we use? And it could be they can have an argument about that. And suddenly starting to appreciate arguments in a totally new way. It's not arguments. Are you machshav this quest, this point? Or are you not machshav? When you take this into consideration, you don't take it. Everybody agrees on what you're taking into consideration. The question is how you balance the reasons what happened and the reasons what. The idea that machlokes is not mikatzel katzel. One person thinks you need a master to do this, another thing you don't need a master. Everyone agrees you need a master. Everyone might also agree what the criteria is. The machlokes it might be does not fit the criteria. Is this a circumstance where we can justify kiddushin according to the agreed criteria? Okay. The idea of Eilu Be'ilu not necessarily being you have your criteria, I have my criteria. The 1800s have their criteria, the 1900s have another criteria. But that the two criteria are relevant for the same posek in all circumstances. The actual issue inherently requires both criteria and both perspectives. The stock in each circumstance will get out of my focus. Which one should be more important? Which consideration should carry the day. But both considerations are relevant. Both considerations are significant. This concept is reinforced by what appears in the Shelter Truth of the Ramah regarding a very interesting Gemara, which is talking about Tumah and Tahara. In introduction, we keep it clear. I think, again, in line with what we saw in the Gemara Erev, the number of Yudam Arab, Ein Moshidim Sanhedrin Elamishi Odeh Latara Tasharat Sinatot. We only bring halachic anarchists onto the bed. In order to get into the bed, you have to be an anarchist. You have to find ways to be matayr or sheretz nefesh. Find ways why what the Torah says is not necessarily true. Torah says it. Torah, you have to be able to be matayr. You have to be able to flip everything what it says. You have to find a way that even someone who's clearly a murderer you can free. And once you get into the bed, you have to have that quality. The other question is why? Here it's also there. My in the pool shall have us. What do we need the stand to pool for? That's the criteria to get us to the desert. How well you can twist your logic to find ways that the Torah really could have been otherwise? So the Ramah here asks the question. Oh, Shaita Shamsara Kamad Arabic. The Shmaish is the Talmud Bakr. The first quote from the Arabic. Hey, the Yabu, the Tara Sheriff, the Kof Nun, find it. Let's start from the answer, the Yesh Loma, halfway down, the Yesh Loma. The Ba'adumma Kavachomer is that the reason why we're trying to use a Kavachomer to prove that really a sheriff should be Tahar, Loma. Even though the halacha is the sheret is mitameh,
We're going to minimize the sum. Why? Since there are reasons to be mad to you, even though it's not the time, we're going to minimize the thought of the day. They after the Nidina. Once we realize that, essentially, Hayatara Lagami is basic to the entire. Racha Chichibra Torah Shu Tomei, therefore, in the Kabbalah Kedusha. The fact that we have reasons that logically we could have been mad to you, the Sherif, means that even though the Torah problems were being metamed to Sherif, how do we view that sin in the Torah? The fact that it could have been viewed otherwise means that we're going to minimize the scope of the thing. It's coming, not to say level of too much something else that really should be coming. The fact that logically a sheriff shouldn't be coming will have implications all the Mesa. And the Ramah Gavar explained, what are we going to do? That we're going to require a higher shear for the dam, that only a certain level of dam sheriff is metamed. Allah Ramah, this is the Ramah. The dinim of Tumah sheriff is different than other dinim of Tumah because logically it shouldn't be coming. Not only having significant for different generations, not only in different circumstances, but in the same case, even when we pass in Tame, a different level of faith. This basically brings us to a realization of, in many different ways, the idea of the coexistence of multiple truths. And at this point, the person can ask why. Why is it so important? Why is it that a Kaddish who give over a Torah that's flexible, that's multivariated, that once you understand it in direction, why are we setting up the danger of that? And here, we have a few sources in the later report that relate to this question. I photocopy for two that I'd like to focus on, and then quickly move to the last question. The Ma'arav here on the left side of the page began writing the same passage, right? The Amr Bali Asukor, Jewish. He Epshar, Shehiyah Adam HaKadim Al-Derev Echot. You know, wrong place. Impossible for two rabbis to agree. He Epshar, Shalom Yeh Kolos Beinei, the Tzim HaShem Kulak in the Tzim. People have different minds, they have different, not only intellectual capabilities and capacities, but different ways that they think. Okay. He called Zavar E. Efsha Shaloyehei. What he's talking about here is based on, again, his perspective of philosophical analysis, the medieval belief the world is based on the four primary elements, like earth, wind, fire, and water. The idea that these different elements, everything that exists, is a, besides earth, wind, fire, and water, is a combination, an integration, a synthesis of different number of these elements in different ways. The difference between objects is which element, right, is more central to its composition. Sharei, tree, for example. Shumurkud midama yisadra, put together from all four of the elements. Haikar shegover bohu yisadra ruach. The strongest element is the ruach, kamoshi adua, as you know. But saying, Ashi Yesh was a varakad, the Tenot Mechafo. Even though a thing can look different, different circumstances, Kula Nafu Mi Hashem Yisar. Rati Yachar Nehem Yosef Yisar, Mu Makuya Vu Alasa. We call him a phone. Alto Marashi Zavar Sheinu Yisar, Inu Nafshah Kum, Ze Inu. Ki Hashomea Kola Zeyo Sarei Yisig Hadavar Kasib Ma Sheyesh Luzavar Bukinot Yisar. Vahari Lamei Torah, כפי מה שהוא הדבר שיש לו בחינות מתחלפות רק לעניין המלכות, אחד מקרי אנשים ולפעמים הבחינות שווים לגמרי ועוד שניהם מן השם יתברך משם ואין מקרי וזה המחלוקת של הרשע ושיות הבאה של אלה עד הבקרים But the Ma'aral is mentioning here, and even if we today don't view it necessarily the same way as far as which elements and what the elements are, nature the world, the phenomena that we find in the world, are rarely good, bad, positive, negative. The world is a mixture of, and each object, each phenomenon is a mixture of good, some good factors, some bad factors, and different elements. Solid, liquid, gas, mixed together. The world is an integration of different elements that are battling one another, that form objects that are combinations of different elements. Very often you can have two objects that consist of the same elements, but are different merely based on the fact that they have, one has more of one element, while the other has more of another. He says the Torah, which is meant to A, mirror reality, B, direct us in how to relate to reality, has to reflect reality in that it too is a mixture of different concepts, is an integration of sometimes opposing concepts. A Torah that's meant to deal with the complexity of reality has to itself be complex, has to itself be an integration of very often the opposing factors we find we meet in the world. Just as the world has between opposing couples, just as the objects, the physical objects, the phenomena, the psychological issues, the philosophical issues, are generally considerations, meeting, challenging, reflecting off one another. So do the Torah's concepts relate to this world by also sharing this feature. The feature of opposing factors, different factors, meeting in being Makriya the Halakha, but even though there is Akwa of Halakha, still the different factors existing together within the same framework of a concept, within the same framework of an issue, within the same framework of a mitzvah, a pasuk, or whatever other issue in Torah we're discussing. Okay. The Maharal here in Sheet and Baragol goes on, discusses a much greater length. The whole concept of nature, how nature is an integration of very often opposing features, how philosophy relates to it is also an integration of opposing elements and ideas. And again, it keeps you turning to the idea of Baliya Tufos. Higher level of music, a richer level of music, is an orchestra. And very often in an orchestra you have different voices that are vastly disparate in the sounds that they create. And if they're played, incongruously one with the other, the danger is that it can sound like the band warming up. But if the orchestra is playing together carefully synchronized, what comes out is a much richer sound, is what we call music as opposed to just a person playing an instrument. Okay? It's the same thing with the level of color. Asr, Musr, a list of the 630 mitzvahs, it's beautiful to sing. But the richness of Torah is only appreciated by seeing within each concept how very often opposing concepts are balanced to create the actual halacha that we find in the Torah. It's the difference between reading Mishnah Berurah or Shulchan or going through the sugya and realizing the basis for both deos. Right? There's a balance that needs to be struck between opposing features and factors. Very often, in certain cases, everyone agrees, let's move that way, it's only in these middle cases where you have an argument, and now we have to reach a certain halacha. Halacha is reached after an appreciation of the different ideas, and how the ideas come together is obviously parallel to music, the musical parallel, an orchestrated orchestra as opposed to a mere song sung alone in the background. And that's the richness of the Aruch HaShulchan, and that as a result of those who've appreciated Torah and living generation, stores in dealing with Machlokes. How can you accept Machlokes? How can, right, this is still in the Gemara Sadiya, in Kei Hei Tani Lame, how can I learn if it's just this opinion and that opinion and everything is negotiable? Nothing can be known. You know, if you open up and say, like, you see this on the digital, every paragraph is a Machlokes. Something like this, something like this. What is it? Some people run from it. You say, okay, I want to know about halacha, don't buy me with that. I didn't want to know about halacha. There needs to be Torah Chatucha. There needs to be one-dimensional, clear mandate. This is what God said. God said that Shabbat starts for us. Good, I can go home with it. But the Rosh Hashanah is saying, and again, takes all the sources that he mentioned beforehand, and not from his own, is that the rich sense of Torah is an appreciation of very often opposing concepts, very often different, totally different ways of looking at things, maybe even different yourselves. Maybe even different Rishonim building off different yourselves. Bringing it all together, if done correctly, can bring one to the full appreciation of the full richness of the concept. Each day of their own Atlas, all the days together are all part of the same mitzvah. Whether it's their 49 chinorot, or from the one rower, that itself I think is two perspectives on the same idea. Everyone with their own type, but all coming from the same original refracted white light. This sets a person up for appreciating the true richness of our Torah himself. If we end it here, we definitely have an idea, an important idea about learning Torah, appreciating Torah as a true, full richness. I want to go with this. To step further to see how a Tuk, as an example, took all of these concepts, and if you think the Ma'avar from Tumah to Tara to other areas of Halacha is big, the big jump, we're going to see what the Tuk does. First, I want to show you what he does, and then I want to try and explain to you why he does it. I mean why, I don't mean what social pressures, unfortunately, I mean what his intellectual style basis is for the same thing. First piece that I'd like to relate to on page Gimel here is an article that Cook wrote in response to Rabbi Eibach's book beginning the turn of the century. He wrote a book relating to general the history of Jewish philosophy, and he has some pieces that relate specifically to the Rambam, which he says that the Rambam has a lot to offer. The Rambam developed philosophy, contributed to the development of philosophy. However, certain parts of the Rambam's philosophy, the parts in which he influenced or reflects in Greek philosophy, these are not in line with Jewish tradition, and therefore they need to be avoided. Let's summarize what the Rabbi Eibach has to say about the Rambam, about this part of the Rambam. And here are Cook is responding. Right. Just as regarding the halakha of the Torah, yesh nam tanim shonim b'skim kederot, v'anu noagim l'kayem b'hem et midat ha'torah shal azne, shal asei al zafak ha'afa keset, v'shonat d'vei ha'atam v'dnei ha'atam. Just like that, I want to see you. Do you guys have to do it in a chai, do you have to do it in a chai? And they should cool enough from your own as ha'at. Yesh na'achlam yuchat ala ha'at na'vei. Kaas midan ha'adzim ha'atman. Now, Haggis, the Hilkot of the Yaskarino, Shahal of Hakmei Israel, and Mustakim Ravot Alma, the last Rav Hashem. Khalil Ran and Akel Rosh Medan, the Akhlit of Hadi, the Akhlit of Hain, very different. Interesting here is that here we have, as far as we started this year, the reverse phenomenon. We started with saying, the idea that the Jewish philosophy didn't have to be there. Okay. A lot of it didn't there. That was a finish. The Kuk is related to a generation which after the risk of Deris had already conquered the victims, and they basically broke down the walls of Halacha and Iyun and Tzedekas and their different ways of looking at it, the idea that, ironically, in the philosophical world, they were developing the idea of a fundamentalist, objective, one-track, one-dimensional system of Jewish philosophy. And here what Cook is saying, the concept exists by Halacha, for sure they exist by philosophy. The same sources that exist regarding halacha that urge us to take into account the richer perspective of halacha, these same sources have to be applied to Moshe Yisrael as well. And even if today, or in general, certain opinions of the Rambam are not popular or don't fit in with the general consensus of what the Jewish philosophy is, assuming there is such a consensus, every day, every opinion has significance. Every day has to be valued as something that contributes to a richer world. Later on, his discussion, defense of the Rambam, the first word in line is Bazet, his decision about what to take into account. He netun al afim ratzav al afshid is pisat afshirim al rufanim shakol achad lafit kulato. How a person understands Jewish philosophy depends on the person. Reminding ourselves of the Barashah, specifically. We saw it in the Rambam. אין שום ספק שיש להם אנשים שדעות מיוחדות פועלות להם פעולה טובה.
לצורך כאן,
זה
פיתוש,
כן,
דעות הפעשת
לבבם
לקדושה, לטהרה, לאמונה, לעבודה, לצורה הזאת. ויש שם אנשים אחרים. שדעתי להיות אחיות, אם יש לדעות לקרב את לבבם, לחוזים ה-30 והנסתבים עליו. ואם הדעות שנפרשו בספר המורה, אם הוא לא פרישתו בתוקף מונתו בדקות עבודתו, הקדושה האמיתית של הענק, הגדול, מורה, כל השביל הרמב״ם, with all the accolades, אין שום ספק שרבי מאוד הנה בישראל שאילו הדרך הוא לא בכל הרב את הפעלת הכל הזו בסדר. Here, the cook is developing on philosophical level. The same concept we saw in the Marashal and Halakhic level. The different people in the same Jewish world are different. Right? That all of them are just a part. And that whatever is going to affect the person in a positive way, that for him is Jewish philosophy. In between lines here, I think it's relating to a question that comes up in interesting, it's not discussed, it wasn't discussed in some, it's discussed a little bit later, the question of fallacious belief. Fallacious belief is the concept that a person believes in the right thing for the wrong reason. Okay, a person believes there must be a God. Why? He goes outside and he sees that the cafeteria is open right when he needs it to be open, must be a God. What? No way, I can't. It must be a God. Or he goes outside, see the cow gets where it has milk. How could a cow have milk? It's mamash needs the blood. Fiddler on the roof. He believes in God. He mamash believes, though. He's willing to give his life to him. Is that belief? The reason why this is an important question is because if you say no, is there any type of belief that's not fish? With the Rambam, the Rambam violated the principle of religious belief. He believes because he believes in his philosophy. He believes that his philosophy is wrong. So the Rambam really believes. Of course, he's making a clear statement. Fallacious assumes that there's an objective truth. There is no objective reason why we should believe. If a person believes because of discovery, if a person believes because of Richard Cyrus, if a person believes because of Breuer, Cyrus, and Chumash, whatever it is that will bring the person to a better appreciation and belief in God, that is Mashiach itself. That is, for him, Jerusalem. And if a person can identify better with God, believing he doesn't have a body, believing he does have a body, believing, again, within a certain framework of the Torah mandated possibilities, this is Mashiach. We went out to the next piece in Edra Yakar. Beyond the idea of different people, here Rav Kook presents the possibility of the synthesis of these different ideas for the same thing. So, all of the Makshava Ma'asit Shalami, Halacha Lamed, Iyun Ha'alacha V'ha'Talmud, Yisriach Ha'Nisayon Yafet, Hadayot Kulan Ha'Muskamot Ha'adot Yimuskamot, Nikvitu Yachad, Yachad Ha'ashiru Ha'Diyotim. In the world of Iyun of Gemara, everybody's bringing the Deyotim. If Tzivu is Kukra Yareinu, the Adiru is at Kufat Kufat, the Tzitzen Lanu Yad Ha'Giel, Kol Mubukash Mekodash, Mekodash, Mishifeh Ha'Makshava Ha'Masit, באופן מבורר ומוצלח, לפי תנאי מתנות. התועלת המוחשית התקלה על ידי הלימוד הרחב שנבנה מקיבוץ הדעות השונות למשטר זוסן, הציגה לגמרי את הקרקע המחלוקת והציבור. The first moment you see the day, they don't feel מחלוקת, they feel richness, they feel different דעות coming together, it doesn't bother you. האפשרי להיוולד משני הדעות והחלוקות. The could have come out, the definitiveness of each time. והביא את מורתם אחתות, אהבה ורכשי כבוד אין קץ, וכל הדעות השונות הנתנות כאלה. והיא אשר הביאה גם כן רודי פולותיהם החיוביות בעצם זערן בפולותיהם. Here we have a description of Vishka Deres of learning the different ideas and appreciating the people as you know. לא כן הוא גורם המחשבה היומית. This is not destiny of what so far occurred with this philosophical investigation. למרות כל אמר בעלי ההגדה לסלנותיה, בעלי הלוסטר, הנסקר, הקבלה היומית, על בפונים, לחבב ולרומן את עבודת המחשבה והרעיון, לא זכינו עדיין בעניינו לקבוע קיבוצים וישיבות קבועים, שתהיה מטרתם מכנית במקום אחד, בקיבוץ בהתאמה, את כל סידורי המחשבה הגדולה של הכנסת ישראל, שנגלתה בצדדים רבים, בדרות שונים, במצבים מיוחדים, בפלגות, במסגרות ובמקצעות בסגנונים מפורטים. ובכל אותו מקום הולך למקום אחד ולמקום ישראל. Bemoaning the fact that this pluralism and the idea of bringing together and the learning of Halacha and Iyun, appreciating the richness and the integration of the different things, does not exist in our sense. For instance, I'm a rationalist, I'm a capitalist, I'm a this. Everybody is there for the philosophical framework. And he felt his part, whether today is being done better or not, is also a question. At his time he felt that people were not accurately appreciating the richness of Machshavas Yisrael that results from the integration of religion. And here you see in both of these pieces, we are proof stressing the need to appreciate a different perspective. So far, not this, right? So far, Rambam and Kuzari, and Rasadi Gon and the Ari. The next pieces that we're about to see, I think he takes it a step. If you look at the, now the bottom left corner, the cook in Orot Emunah makes a tremendous leap of faith. As opposed to the godly infinite truth. Ein hevdel bein ha'emunah mitzuyeret la'kfirat klal. There's no difference between faith and heresy. Shnehem einam notnim et emet. Neither of them. El she'emunah mitzareg v'kabeit yidan el emet. For us, the faith is more true. La'kfirat al Hashem. And heresy is more false. Umimela in Shaka Toba Rabbi El Hapoti. Sim Yelpuba Uposhik Nikoshti. Vaolam Kulo. Sim Kol Arasada Tomahim Rupanima Kolu Lerkin. Lugabi Erkinu Ahmed is Kaleba Munabi Himakoto. Sashaka Bakira Himakora. Amulgabi or A Sola Koshala. Gamma Kiri is Kalus Kosai. She or Hayim shall live alone with Labesh Sosa. ומשום כך מלאכתם ממנה גיברים רוחניים ניצוצות עולים לו. That initial statement is already said enough. There's no difference between faith and earth. They're all relevant.
One is for us, more so than the other.
What's the basis of this faith? How can we put that in? We all understand now how so much of what we know historically about the cook is based on these opinions. Wasn't just talent. It's so listening. But what is this opinion based on? Look at the last sheet now. I think that it's based on two assumptions. The first assumption, the metaphysical assumption, is based on how a cook saw the relationship between Hangul and the Yahweh. The cook believes, and anyone who reads this book immediately sees it, that in the transition in the Ma'avar from the Ein Sof, from the infinite, to the finite nature of our world, in order for things to be translated into words, into reality, into finite bodies, nothing in this world can possibly, comprehensively, truly reflect the true infinite nature of God. Nothing. No idea. No physical entity. The whole essence of symptoms, and I'm talking here about metaphysically, per se, how it works, but philosophically, the message in symptom is that everything in our world is lacking, is partial, is incomplete. I just chose an example of a piece here in Orson, even now where he says it, on the last page, page 41. Yikara emunah yi begzulat shleimut en yisod, shekol mazeh nesmat en ocholeh, harei zeh mitzot batel gamret, zekad imah shem ahuj leot mishua. Any thought we can possibly have is meaningless in the light of the real truth. Umah shem ahuj leot mishua, you know, that cloud, this soup shall be tool. It's not even possible to talk about it being simple because it's so incompatible with Adi Mashu Bema. The Yema HaKara, Libit Kurayim Yukara, Oh, Adi Yidu Gdelet, the Ein Lashum Er, the Ein Takanan Lashtei Nirma, the Surah Chayam. Kiyim Apiya Kishuim HaRasha Unashi Yerasa Lita Alam Yukara. We have to do our best to connect with every thought we have back to that instance. The idea that everything we have is only a mere reflection, a partial reflection of the real truth. And by the way, the idea of this essential distinction between God's infinite nature and our world is something that you have in Jewish philosophy all the way through, way before, all the way back to the Rambam and the Rashi. The Rambam, for example, in Mordechai Bukhi Teledimu, and he's discussing why it's so important to believe that the responsible is incorporeal, it's not physical. He said because it's essential that a person realizes how vastly different man is from God. The idea that God could be in some way physical already is motored in some level, already blurs the clear distinction that needs to be between man and God. And here, at the philosophical level, our book is saying, as much as we think we know, we don't know. Nothing here can really be the truth. Therefore, on the flip side, everything is in a certain way a reflection of the truth, because nothing can exist in our world because it's not connected back to the infinite nature of time. And this is something you see all over in the book, the idea that the true appreciation of the world, the philosophy of anything, is only through appreciating the world on a comprehensive level, the complete world, the unification of ideas, the unification of opposites, the thesis, antithesis, and synthesis that is so essential for a book in bringing together everything that exists in the world. Here, just as an example, again, as a piece, and I don't want people to get a mistaken impression. This is the one place where Cook says, I'm trying to show you an example where he says it clearly. All thoughts are logical. All thoughts are logical. All thoughts are logical. כשנחתור יצא אחרי שושן, נמצא אין שהן משתלשלות במקור הגיעות. פיתחתי תכונות המחשבה. ולנהל היודעין אנו, שאין שום מחשבה בתהילה בעולם כלל. אין לך דבר שאין לו מקום. כי כולם במקור החוכמה נמצא. אם יש שם מחשבות של דופי או של רכנות, זה הדופי רכנות כמעט סגנון הפיזיקה. אין שום מינים נמצאות, it's just in the external way, the way they reflect themselves. אל תשארי לעצמי מיותנן, מגיע ואין יסודף חיים, כי פעם לא מפתח. וכל אדם לעניין מוסרות מה שרוצה. המון חיים לבית. שעתידים להיות מזדקקים ועומדים חיים לקיימים יותר מעלה ליום אשר יבוא לעולם הסיכום. וכל מה שיתעלה האדם יותר, כל מה שעשיתו יותר גדולה לתוך לתמי של אהבה והחיים, הרי הוא לוקח מכל מחשבה. בין שישלו בין שישי החיים. אז גרעינה הנצחי היה גם. אז הוא. אני יודע, אני כבר חכמה, ולכת, אני אדם, אין שלא לבוא, אין שחכם הלומד מכל אדם, ולא שיהיו פה. Every person, every idea has an element of truth that needs to be learned from. And if it seems false, that it's only because we're looking at the outer reflection of it. We say, I need a lesson, right? The way he expresses it, that may not be as true as what we have, but there is some truth in what he says. The idea of realizing that even if we don't apply it, in this case, Allah Kalam Aisha, is there truth in what the person says? In a debate, is there right and holy wrong? Or more right and less right? Is there anyone who says that it's absolutely meaningless? And if it's absolutely meaningless in our eyes, is it we who are right? Or is it our view that's lacking? These assumptions that are cooked are built on the basic understanding of how the world functions. The idea that a book is, has a patient of thought piece, right? He talked to the pioneers, and he tried to deal with everyone. It wasn't just because he was trying to unite the guys. He believed that everyone had a certain amount of truth, and he believed very strongly that even the anti-religious idea, they weren't expressing it correctly, but they were building off concepts, goals, and ideas that were truthful, and that maybe others didn't appreciate correctly. The only true appreciation is trying to collect all the individuals. The one is being a unification of every facet of the world. Because on the one hand, nobody has an opportunity. Nothing is totally true, and nothing can be absolutely false. I'd like to conclude with the last piece here from Martha Kodesh, which I think is so key in relationships with people. And now let's get out of this philosophical framework for a second. It's very important. Allah Kalam Aisha is dealing with the sense Mi shechoshev v'nyanei ha'lefut v'taratam Einenu yachol l'sno l'vadot Shum yitzira v'shum kishron shkola Kol l'shul l'shem shalai k'era h'ega n'kmoi Kashe b'chol mitkale ha'kol kibro no Everybody is in some way reflection of that Elo shel famim hu margish et azbizut and intake the agency Shinitkalem bo b'yoter atzar ha'ederi A person sees what's missing in somebody else. דהיינו מה שמנתק אותו מהאור והחיים הכללים של מקור הכל. ונמצא שהסדר והבורתי לא בא על מה שיש באמת בתנועה ובתרבות איזה שתהיה, אלא על מה שלא יש בו. דהיינו על מה שלא משלים את כל כוונתה והשלמת חייה. עד כדי פסקה שמותה ברגע של גמדן במהלך היום, אני יודע שאתה יכול להגיד שאני עושה We hate someone or hate something because it's missing. We don't look at what it has going for it. We look at what it doesn't have going for it. We also look at ourselves, we only look at our wrong points. We're going for us. We look at other people, our own strengths. And that's what you're saying here. To be a tabor, to better appreciate the people around you. Trying to see what's good in everybody. Trying to see what's good in everybody. Everybody's lacking, and you know what? So, everybody's lacking.
And that's why the person who says it is so important.
We're perfect. Wrong, by a fact, the number.
Once you're not perfect, so you have 96 and they have 63, okay. But you're also missing 7 points.
Doesn't mean that we believe that the way we're living our lives, that religion choose, is not the most correct way to live. We can believe that this is the best shikul, the best way for a person to live, the most ideal way for a person to live in an unideal world. But part of our ability to complete ourselves is bringing in facets of a world that is not ideal, less ideal than what we are. Seeing by the people who are not living correctly, elements that we don't appreciate. You look in Israel. Is there any political party in Israel, for example, the first example is this, of multiple ideas and people with such glaring conflict? Is there any party that's not building off the values? The most left-wing party that has the values of respect for individuals, of respect for the environment, of morality, of ethics that are not necessarily appreciated in other countries. So maybe the way they express it, maybe the way they come out, the speeches, the extremity is incorrect. But to say, meaningless, total sheker, right, wrong. I'm not saying you should go vote for, you know, for this part, but to not appreciate that there's meaning on another side of the spectrum. That's the argument you have within Orthodox. Each side has certain bases they're building off of, which is true. The balance? Okay, there are politics that balance. The problem is when people say, this is the only way to balance. This is all the truth and that's none of the truth. If folks take this concept, this is the first example of how you talk about Isha Anotha, building philosophy off a halakhic concept. Expanding a concept beyond the bounds of halakha. Take into account phenomena beyond halakha. The world beyond the shukha. Maybe the fifth shukha. This is an example of what our response could be and should be to the claim made by modernity against religion. Not specifically Judaism, but against religion in general. This is the Jewish response that Judaism, first of all, is tolerant and can be tolerant based on a real appreciation of quality, a possibility of the coexistence of multiple Jews. And mutual respect that one can have for another by recognizing the truth in everything. And by stressing that as opposed to stressing the truth. To try and see how everybody's cup is somewhat full, even though it may not be as full as one's own cup. Maybe we both have to be able to unite these different perspectives, to bring together in our own way the aspects of Hashem, and Vahayev Yomahu Yashem Akhod Shmokha.
There are the reasons for why I need to stop this stuff.